Back in the mid-1990s, I sailed around Britain for the BBC. Buoyed up with a fat budget, I strolled into Kelvin Hughes like a gentleman yachtsman and bought a complete folio of UK paper charts for £1,400. This year, at the London Boat Show, I found the same thing in raster electronic form from Meridian Chartware and got change from £100. All I need to work them is a laptop and a means of charging it. To turn them into a full-on chart plotter sets me back a trifling sum for a GPS dongle, and that's it. I could even spend less with Navionics and use my iPad, but that would leave me with vector charts, which I don't really enjoy, and an inferior plotter. I popped the tiny Meridian box into my pocket and wandered off. The paper version would have needed a wheelbarrow. That said, a full folio of paper charts for an interesting trip did make for a colourful life. Like many a deep water man, I used to do anything to avoid stumping up for a sheaf of charts at the start of a voyage. The Royal Cruising Club saved my bacon on a trip to Russia via the chart-hungry Baltic with its endless sounds, islands and wall-to-wall rocks. The club's friendly old chart lending service encouraged better-heeled members to donate redundant folios to common chart drawers where younger, more penurious acolytes could rummage free of charge. The arrangement still stands, but it's all done person to person now. A computer flickers where once the chart drawers overflowed with bounty for the needy. Over the years, I've swapped charts around the seven seas, and once even scored a full set from Spain from the skip at Bewley. Depths were in fathoms, but used sensibly, the charts were none the worse for that. And what about the collateral benefits? In the same dumpster, I discovered a quarter bottle of gin, Gordon's, very acceptable, and a Seafarer Echo Sounder, which sprang into life after a modest application of emery cloth to its contacts. It served me well for years. Probably the best ever chart scoop was on the west coast of Norway while bound for the Arctic Circle and the legendary Lofoten Islands. Of charts, I had none, and many were required. The plan was to borrow them from my friend Steinar Jurs at the entrance to the Sonja Fjord, but his had suffered a recent misunderstanding with a diesel spill which had compromised quality. After searching the fjords and skerries, we found a man rejoicing in the name of Odd, who had bought a comprehensive stack of West Coast charts, then changed his plans. They were unused, and he was prepared to loan them for the summer. The deal was done, and Odd agreed to cart them down to the boat. Steinar and I stacked up the whisky bottles and lit the saloon table oil lamp. Odd arrived, and soon we were studying the pristine charts, and, as one does, spinning many a merry yarn. All went swimmingly until Steinar, having consumed his fair share of Scotland's finest, held a chart over the lamp chimney by mistake. Approaches to Trondheim rapidly turned brown. It smoked a bit, then it burst into flames. It couldn't happen with raster charts and a yacht with electric lighting, but the idea of poring over a PC by strip light doesn't hold a candle to drinking whiskey with husky Northmen in a lamp-lit saloon and telling tall stories over a set of beautiful paper charts. As Judy Collins observed back in the 60s, something's lost and something's gained in living every day.